Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Menopause Sisters Show, where our host, Nancy Monroe, co-creator of Cool Cami, the only camisole designed to give women relief from hot flashes, and Laura Dankoff, nurse practitioner and author of Seeds for Change, A Path to Health and Healing, will cover topics related to women in various stages of menopause.
All right. Well, what a lovely intro. Our audience is a little delayed today. Let's be stuck in that
cold.
Too cold weather. Yeah, minus 12 when I woke up this morning. So I would not venture outside if I didn't have to either.
Right.
But, so today's topic is a little bit, you know, people may think, well, what's this got to do with menopause? But I went to a program. Oh, wait, they just came in the door. Oh, my gosh. Where have you guys been? It's like, oh, come on, get in your seats. Come on. Oh, they're still fussing with coffee and donuts.
Oh.
Ladies, don't all fight over it at once. Yeah, okay. They'll make up their mind. They'll get settled down. Anyway, so I went to this event, and it was around, you know, how to find a better self or how to be more successful or whatever the title might have been. Mm-hmm. But one of the things the presenter covered was this, when I Google it, it's called the Karpman Drama Triangle. And what it does is a lot of times people can take on one of these roles. So the roles are persecutor, rescuer, and victim. And I got to thinking about how this might relate to women, and the example that the presenter gave was, you know, think of the victim as Cinderella, the persecutor as the evil stepmother, and the rescuer as the fairy godmother. And then, so how would you behave if you were taking on one of those roles? And then she had us kind of relate it to a personal situation. So, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times the victim feels like, you know, there's no way out. They're always, you know, it's always somebody else's fault. They're always pointing the finger at someone else. But, you know, if you really kind of take a look at why they're doing that, it's like a lot of times they're afraid of doing something or they're afraid of standing up for themselves. And I think any one of these roles has an impact on your health and the way that you kind of suppress things. Or outwardly, you know, it feels if you're the persecutor, you know, if you're constantly persecuting people, that's really building up anger and frustration in yourself as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the example I was giving is that I'm the chair of this nonprofit organization, and I try to delegate things to people, and it never gets done, right? And so the, you know, we have to buddy up with somebody, and she says, now, I think, you know, take, you know, and these are the things I hate. Now, take deep breaths and blah, blah, blah. And then now, look at your partner and tell them, you know, how do you, you know, if you want to take a more positive spin on this, what would you, you know, and she listed kind of these things of, I want to take control or I want to be more successful. You know, so if you try to solve the problem or solve the situation that's overtaking you, and I just looked at him and I said, I just want people to get shit done. I don't. Whatever she's saying, yeah, that sounds great. Just do what you signed up to do, right?
Right.
And, but, you know, as I take a look at some of these definitions in Wikipedia, it talks about all these different roles, the melodrama, you know, and it's a story that's repeated throughout soap operas and movies and whatnot. You know, you always have a melodrama hero, villain, and a damsel in distress. Mm-hmm. Is another way to look at it. You know, so if you think about where you're at today, so when we were on our Valentine's Day show, we talked about women are always stepping up to help out. They're always the caretaker. Well, that's the rescuer role. And it says here the game, some kind of game they're talking about, and distinct genuine rescuer in emergency, such as a firefighter saves a victim from a burning building, a lifeguard who saves a victim. So in the drama triangle, there is something dishonest or unspoken about the rescuer's attempts, or at best a mixed motive or need to be a rescuer or have a victim to help. In fact, the Karpman triangle gives game inhibits real problem solving, creates confusion and distress, not solutions. The drama triangle rescuer plays the role more because they are driven to be a rescuer as a way of avoiding looking at their own anxiety and underlying feelings than because the victim needs their involvement, as in the case of a fireman rescuer. So they're basically saying you're always helping people because you're avoiding looking at yourself and some of the anxieties that you're having.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, so I there must be, I haven't had a chance to, oh, it's a book, A Game Free Life. Oh, I get it, okay. And so it goes through each of these roles, you know, talks about self-esteem, you know, again, we tend to have challenges with that, or women tend to more so than men.
Right.
I would say I don't fit into that category.
No, you don't.
And I want to look at the persecutor role. That's the one, person, victim. I'm just trying to see where it has. I don't see the persecutor in this website. But, you know, a persecutor is somebody who's always critical of things.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you're always judging other people, and again, you know, so think about yourself, and can you identify with one of those roles? So I think it's just a different way for women to take a step back to say, what role am I playing right now in this situation? And is there a way that I can resolve that or spin it around to be more successful? But, you know, I kind of wanted to share this with you to talk about how does it impact your health. So if you're, so let's look at each of the roles. So if you're the persecutor, you're always kind of negative, finding the negative in everyone, pointing out people's flaws, always the nag.
Right. You're an angry person. You know, you don't find the joy in life, and that creates its own stressors. And in reality, you know, I almost feel like the persecuting type would also at times have their own issues with their own self-esteem. So in order to maintain that sense of superiority or whatever, it's easier to look at other people. So I almost feel like that whole triangle, you could morph from one to the other
on a regular basis,
that you wouldn't always fall into one role. But
right.
In any single one of those roles, I think, you know, it's definitely going to have a physical and emotional toll on you. And particularly if you decide to stay in any one role for any length of time, you know, and one thing that I don't hear out of that triangle is, you know, being a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And in each one of those roles, there's a different type of weakness.
Right.
There.
Right.
Versus a survivor. So how do you get out of the triangle?
Right. And I think there's these exercises that they show. Like, think of a situation where you've been a rescuer, victim, or persecutor. You might have been all three at some time in the same scenario. Use this situation to ask yourself the following questions. What am I not doing? What do I need to do? Who's taking responsibility for whom? Blah, blah, blah. Who has the power? How do I know? So it forces you to say, okay, if I'm, which role am I feeling I'm taking on right now? And then go through this list of questions to kind of reverse that or get out of that situation.
Yeah, I mean, I can give an example, you know, that recently happened with myself and my own daughter, where I felt like she was being, you know, a victim or persecuted, and I wanted to be the rescuer.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of that, I was almost making myself physically ill. So that's what the stress, emotional stress,
exactly,
perception we're doing with that. And, you know, having stomach aches and burning heart pain and, you know, things like that. Just allowing myself to get too worked up, even though intellectually I know what I need to do, and this is what I talk to other people about doing. And so to try to get out of that for myself, first I was proud of her for being maintaining her integrity and honesty in the situation. And then for myself to try to calm things down, you know, I was doing deep breathing exercises and a technique called tapping or emotional freedom technique, which helps displace some of the emotional stuff that's going on and diffusing it, where you tap on different energy or meridian points of the body and you actually face whatever the emotion or situation is, and then you start to turn that around, and it can help really bring down the stress level and the physical symptoms that you're feeling with that stress.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So, so did it help?
Yeah. I mean, I'm at one point I, you know, felt like I had high anxiety. You know, was like a 10, and after doing that technique, I felt like it came down to about a 5.
Mm. Wow.
And so it can have a significant impact. You know, there's a website called tappingsolutions.com, I believe, where they actually go through, you know, what these points are on your body that you're tapping. And there's a lot of support by the certain people in the medical community for using this technique, and by some psychologists and psychiatrists as well. Because it can really help you get on top of the situation or take a different perspective of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the world's not going to end.
Right.
You know, things are going to be fine. You know, this is just one blip in time. And what can you do with that? Are you going to continue to be a victim, or are you going to be a survivor and use that experience to help you moving forward and your whole perspective on life and what truly is important.
Right. Well, I always say, what's the worst that can happen? Are you
right.
going to die? I mean, that's
right.
the worst that could happen. You could die, or it would kill someone else.
Right, right. And that's generally not the situation in a lot of those cases. And, you know, I recently sent out an email to my subscribers kind of on this whole topic in a way, because in my profession as a nurse practitioner, I see so many people that are so stressed out and feel so defeated and victimized by
mm-hmm.
their employers.
Yep.
And corporate America today is a rather vicious, hostile place for a lot of these people.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't feel supported, and they also feel trapped, that they don't have any way out of their situation.
Well, yeah, because it's, even when the job market was good,
mm-hmm.
you know, you had other considerations like the benefits, health benefits,
right.
security,
right.
you know. Certain people, I remember when I worked out as a contractor out at Sears, at their headquarters, a lot of those people raised through the ranks from just working retail. They didn't have college degrees. And that was
mm-hmm.
actually one of the few places that you could go to work right out of high school, no college, and work your way up to a pretty high position with the organization. And they all realized, I can't go anywhere else except maybe another retail, because anybody else would want a college degree, they'd want these other credentials,
mm-hmm.
and I have this pension that, you know, I'm tied into. I mean, so they were all miserable. They all
right.
hated working there, but they had these handcuffs on
right.
that, you know, required them to stay at a place where that, because I'm looking at them like, you guys just always complain about your job. Just leave.
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh, well, they're going to have to decide, do I want to modify my standard of living
mm-hmm.
and take a risk for working in a job that's not so stressful?
Right, and that's what we're seeing with a lot of women. By the time they get to perimenopause and menopause, they have been so stressed out because they're in those situations. It's hard for families to get by on one income today,
mm-hmm.
and they feel like they have no choice to be, you know, not only raising their family and working a full-time job that maybe they don't like, and that's stressing them out, and it's that physical toll it's having on them really is catching up with them in a big way by the time they get into their 40s and 50s. And their diet maybe hasn't been as healthy as well because they're too rushed and too stressed out, and everybody's got time limitations to take that time to take care of themselves. So I guess that is the challenge today. You know, how do you quit being a victim or even the persecutor or the rescuer,
right,
which a lot of women do,
mm-hmm,
every day, and instead be a survivor? And a survivor means, you know, to me, that you have a sense of self-worth. You know who you are, you're authentic, and you're not molding yourself and compromising yourself to someone else's ideal, what they think you should be.
Right, right, exactly. So, you know, I'm looking at some of these other questions that they start to have you ask, and part of the reason this woman is doing this workshop, she and her husband have an institute, what's it called? Their last name is Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, Institute, yeah, of Chicago. And, she, you know, she starts off talking about how she was always the good girl. She always did everything right. She was valedictorian, went off and got her college degree. And, you know, so they had this institute for lifelong learning, how to be successful. Somebody writes in here, is it a cult? Oh, dear.
My.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I'll get back to that one later. But she's, you know, it could probably, you know, you might want to think of it. It's almost like an Anthony Robbins, like how to take control of your life, how to be
mm-hmm
successful. You know, and so I always kind of look at those things like, I don't know. I mean, that's, some of that's just kind of people just taking a more positive spin and taking responsibility in their lives to do, to make a change.
Right.
But so some of these questions are, who has the power and how do I know? Have I agreed to do more than I want to do? So a lot of this is just really taking a step back, looking to see is, you know, you can really ask yourself, do I want to live like this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just a matter of, you know, I've been in that situation before, a little bit more drastic situation, but it's like, do I really want to live like this? Oh, I have a choice, because I think sometimes women just feel like,
right,
well, no, this is, you know, this is the path. You get married, you have kids, you know, you go through life, and this is the way it is. And it's like, no, it doesn't have to be that way. You,
right,
you're choosing it to be that way.
And I think there's a sense of awakening that's happening in a lot of people, that they are looking at things differently, and they're saying, wait a minute, I don't have to live this way. I do have choices. I think we see that more with women in their 20s and 30s that have a whole different perspective
mm-hmm
on things than those of us in our 40s, 50s, and 60s do, that they do kind of think that way, a lot of them. I do have choices. I don't have to live this way. You know, life's too short, and I can make a change. And a lot of them, you know, when we were younger, our generation, a lot of times you stayed, just like the Sears job, these people stay in the same job, they don't move around, and they stay there because of pensions and what have you, or their benefits, and they feel like they can't leave.
Mm-hmm.
Where people today are more mobile.
Right.
And they, a lot of times they're making job changes every 5 years as a way of staying fresh and looking for new opportunities, and aren't looking at things that, you know, that they're tied into a pension. Well, a lot of places you don't even have a pension anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So they can roll their 401ks over in, you know, to another fund or whatever, so they're not feeling like they're stuck in one place.
Right.
So there's different opportunities today than there used to be. But those that are nearer to retirement maybe were in those positions and actually do have a pension. They really do
mm-hmm
feel, in a sense, stuck where they're at.
Right, right. And they have to write it out and hope they survive it.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, look at one of our menopause sisters. She's been at the same job for, what, how many years?
30 to 40 years, yeah.
Yeah, and just, you know, it just grinds on her, and it's just a horrible work environment. The people there are just nasty,
mm-hmm,
you know, and it's like, well, what are you still doing there? You have other choices.
Yeah.
What the heck's the matter with you?
And that's an example of making a decision, you know, do you stay in a job for how many more years because you are getting closer to retirement,
mm-hmm.
or do you say, I've had enough, and reinvent yourself in another way that you never thought possible? And, you know, sometimes they hear that with, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs like yourself, that you reinvent yourself and follow your own path and passion, and, you know, you end up having a much more fulfilling and rewarding life because you are in control of your destiny, where sometimes women don't feel that they are when they're working in corporate America. And part of that can be their perception. Part of it, you know, yes, we all have certain obligations in those situations that we have to adhere to. So
right. Well, and I just thought, just left my mind. But, yeah, I mean, and you could be, let's say you are going to decide to stay in that situation, but you could start looking forward to what will I be doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, start planning to say, okay, once I get out of this situation, so at least it gives you something to look forward to, and then that energy of what's happening negatively, you can, you know, then redirect it into this other effort of, down the road, you know, where am I going to be, you know? And it's one of the things that came out of this, like a sense of purpose. You know, I'm doing this now so I can have this other thing later.
Right, right. And I think that's a good way to look at it. And it's, it gives you a much more positive outlook on things,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be better on your health.
Right.
And can help redirect some of that frustration you may be having in your current situation to find insight into how that can help direct you with your next phase of your life as far as what you're going to be doing.
Right.
And hopefully it will, you know, lead to better health for you too, and taking care of yourself and realizing, you know, I can say no to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
women have a hard time saying no. There's things that maybe they don't want to be doing, or they feel that they're obligated to do that because that's what everybody else is doing. Sometimes that happens, you know, when your kids are being raised and there's all these different school activities and fundraisers, and the expectation is that you will be there no matter what's going on in your personal life.
Right, right.
And then being guilted into it, which is not a good place to be, and just saying no.
Yeah.
And not feel guilty about saying no.
And I think that's probably the hardest part, is getting past that guilt factor.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, I think when you finally realize how to do that, it lifts such a weight off your shoulders. And then the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Right.
it's like, I'm trying to think, situation. Yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of having that confidence and building your self-esteem to where you realize that, again, kind of taking that responsibility of being good to yourself first. And, you know, saying, you know, this isn't good for me right now, so I have to say no, and
mm-hmm.
being okay with that.
Yeah, and you know, when you're living up to all those other expectations and those stressors, or playing the victim or the rescuer,
mm-hmm.
or the prosecutor, is you're losing sleep over that, not to mention the stress that you're experiencing during the day. And
right.
from a hormonal aspect, all these women get into their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and I see them, and they've got complete adrenal fatigue, where their reserves for, like, their cortisol level, which we have to survive, is so flatlined. It should have a normal pattern where it's higher in the morning, goes down, and we go to sleep. That's a normal pattern. They're completely flatlined because they have nothing to support them. So every time they get under another stressor, they're getting worse off physically because they don't have that reserve to bounce back that they
mm-hmm.
used to. And so one stressful event can take them weeks to recover from.
Yikes.
So where, you know, their sleep patterns are completely off, their anxiety level can be high, and they just can't diffuse it. And
mm-hmm.
it can take, you know, days and weeks sometimes to get it calmed back down, provided they don't have a new stressor or the current stress that set it off isn't so high that they can't get out of it. So then we have this epidemic of people on sleeping pills
mm-hmm.
and
yep.
Anxiety medication and antidepressants. Instead of, okay, how do we diffuse this emotional turmoil in a way that we don't have a society that's so dependent on all of these drugs to get there?
Right. Well, and I think sometimes, you know, if you are feeling the victim, but then you turn around and become the persecutor
mm-hmm.
because you're taking on all this stuff, and then you might then displace that repression as a persecutor to someone else, like your
right.
kids.
Right.
Yeah. And like, you sit down, you do this. Because you're taking all this on. And so, yeah, so if you can find that balance of standing up for yourself, you know, taking a look and maybe getting this, I'll post this list of questions of, you know, what am I not doing? Am I, what boundaries do I need to set up? Am I using my power to take care of myself properly? What am I feeling about this situation? What would I like to feel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's a good one. Like, what am I feeling about the situation and how would I like to feel?
And yeah, those would be great and I just not read the questions, but actually sit down and write out the answers
mm-hmm.
to those questions.
Yeah, yeah. And just start, you know, don't start all at once. Maybe take one situation at a time or one thing that's fairly low repercussion, you know, if it backfires. And just start incrementally and then build up to the bigger ones and the bigger ones. And then, you know, you'll start to feel like you have the power back.
Right, right. And even though you may be in a situation where others may feel that they have it, they don't own your mind.
Right.
And they never will. So you know in your mind, you know, where you stand.
Yeah. Well, and didn't you say something in one of our other shows about how there's chemicals released in your brain that then impact your
mm-hmm.
One of your glands? I forget which one. Pituitary or adrenal or...
Yeah, a thought generates the release of neurochemicals, dopamine, norepinephrine, but also you're releasing hormones are triggered by a thought that then will trigger, for instance, your adrenals to release cortisol and these things, the norepinephrine and epinephrine, which then triggers a physical response in the body, increases your heart rate and your blood pressure, and releases gastric acids in the stomach and can give you heart palpitations. So your mind is a very powerful thing. So if you have control of your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and how you're going to use those thoughts, you have a better chance of also then controlling your hormonal balance and your neurochemical balance as well.
Well, that's a lot to take in.
Thoughts control your emotions and your physical being.
Yeah. And so back to, you know, stuff we've talked about before, meditation,
mm-hmm.
you know, taking time to relax, letting your brain kind of just focus in on what positive energy you can have, and then that's going to also just domino effect everything else that you and whoever else you interact with. So,
sure.
Yeah, so just I thought this drama triangle would be kind of a nicer way to visualize what role am I taking on at this moment
mm-hmm.
and how can I change that so that it's not impacting me in a negative way.
Right, right. Very good thing to think about.
Yeah. So I think our... Woo! They love it! They are on it!
They are.
All right. Well, that wraps up another Menopause Sisters show. And so if you have any thoughts or ideas that of other topics you would like us to cover, just send me an email, nmonroe@coolcammy.com. All right. Well, thanks, Laura, for another great show.